Well, I want to, again, just give everyone a big welcome. Welcome on this Easter Sunday. Welcome on this first MERS Sunday as we're gathering together. For those of you who don't know me, my name is David Uran. I, along with Pastor Drew, are leading this church right now, and by God's grace, will in the future as well. It's a brand new day, right? It's a fresh start. And so I thought it'd be a good transition as we think about the resurrection, which on Easter Sunday, of course, we're dialed in on, we're focused on, just to think about the connection between where we are as a church and the resurrection story, right? The resurrection is about this new life. It's about this fresh start. We, as a church, are in the middle of a fresh start. Now, if we think about fresh starts in our life, be it a new job, a new transition, new relationship, a new move, anything, there's always this mixture of emotions that typically go along with that, right? You have a little bit of nervousness with a fresh start. There's typically lots of excitement with a fresh start. Sometimes there's some sadness with a fresh start, right? And so we think about our church. There is tons to be excited about in this new phase. And yet there's also some sadness, right? What has been in the past is no longer as we're transitioning into a new phase. So it's appropriate to have a little bit of sadness mixed in. There's, of course, some nervousness, right? Anytime there's a new phase, a new start in your life, there's a bit of nervousness. And I know some of you are a little bit nervous about what's this new phase going to look like in the church. I feel that a little bit, right? I feel a little sense of, Dave, don't screw this up. Big picture, though. We're not looking to me. You haven't been looking to Pastor Drew, Pastor Charles, right? We are here right now because of Jesus Christ, right? He is our leader. He is our hope. And so as we look to the future, we're resting, trusting in Jesus Christ. And because of his leadership of us, the sky's the limit, right? The opportunity is before us, and it's exciting. As we think about this fresh start, let's think about this story of Jesus' resurrection, right? Because this Easter Sunday, as we focus on the resurrection of Jesus, what I want us to see is not only the truth about his life, his death, and his resurrection. Yeah, that's a big part of the story, right? That is the central part of the Easter story that we celebrate. That is the resurrection. It's what Jesus did. But what we're going to see today is the story isn't just about Jesus. You see, we also have this resurrection life in Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to talk about. So that's what we're going to focus on today. Because Jesus had a physical death and resurrection, we, Christians, have a spiritual death and resurrection. And if you get this concept, it changes everything. Right? Because Jesus died and rose again, you, Christian, have died and have risen again. And this changes everything. My hope is that, my prayer today, is that wherever you are at in life, wherever you're at spiritually, whatever you're wrestling with, whatever you're bringing with you to church today, that you will hear this message, and it will be a message of hope for you. Because we all desire fresh starts. We all desire the reality that we can start anew, start afresh. There's a reason to leave the past behind. Individually, whatever your past has been, because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, there is hope for you in the future. Church, whatever is true about our past, there is hope for us because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you to take a moment to stand, if you're able, stand as we read Romans chapter 6. You can follow along in your bulletin, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. This is what Paul says. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. By no means. How can we, who died to sin, still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?
in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also. Let's consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to look at three things today, really simply from this passage. First of all, we're going to look at Jesus's death and resurrection. Secondly, we're going to look at our death and resurrection. And then lastly, we're going to look at how this gives us hope and pushes us forward. Jesus's death and resurrection, our death and resurrection, and how this gives us hope. All right, so as we're looking at this passage, right, the context here is that Paul is answering an objection to his teaching on salvation by grace through faith. See, Paul has been teaching that you don't have to earn God's love. And y'all, that's a beautiful truth. You don't have to earn God's love. In fact, you can't earn God's love. It is a gift. It's free. Right? You receive this gift, this free gift, simply by faith, by believing in Jesus. It's a beautiful message, right? You don't have to work your way into God's love. You don't have to work yourself out of hell. You don't have to worry that at the end of your life, God's going to take all of your deeds, he's going to stack up the good ones and the bad ones, and just hope, you're hoping that the good ones outweigh the bad. That's not the message of the gospel. Amen? The message of the gospel is that God gives us a free gift of grace, salvation by grace, forgiveness by grace. You don't and you can't earn it. It's a wonderful message. Amen. But not everyone appreciates that message. Not everyone appreciated Paul's message. Some people said, well, hold on, right? If it's all grace and we don't have to do anything to earn God's love, can we just live however we want, go crazy, sin it up? Paul says, no, of course not, right? That's the very beginning of the verse. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means, right? So Paul is writing this passage to address this concern. And the message of this passage and the message for us today is that because Jesus died and rose again, so Christian, you have died to your sin and risen again to a new and holy life. You get this and it changes everything. All right, this passage is aimed at helping believers understand their new life in Jesus, right? So most of this passage, if we're reading carefully through Romans chapter 6, most of it is focused on us, our reality. But the foundation that for everything Paul is saying is what happened to Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection. It's kind of like the foundation of a house, right? If you're seeing a new house being built, before they actually do the framing and put the drywall on, and before they actually build the house, they've got to set the foundation. The foundation for this passage, the concrete for this passage, is Jesus Christ. It's what he did, his death, his resurrection. So for example, verse 3 talks about Jesus' death. Verse 4 talks about Jesus' burial. Verse 5 talks about a death like Jesus's. Verse 8 talks again about Jesus' death. Verse 10 talks again about Jesus' death. Y'all, the Bible talks a lot about Jesus' death. Not just in this passage, but all over. You ever thought about how strange that is? Like, we love Jesus, right? We're his followers. We love Jesus, and we're celebrating his death. That doesn't make sense, does it? Right? I mean, if we love him so much, why do we make such a big deal about his death? Why do we have crosses in the church? Why do we wear crosses? Why do we celebrate his greatest moment of agony? When we remember Jesus' death, we're not celebrating his agony. We're celebrating the reason why he came to die. He came to die because he loved us so much that he was willing to encounter hell on the cross so that his people, you and me, if we're in Jesus Christ, that we would be saved. He protects us from the wrath of God. That's what the hell on the cross is. All of God's wrath being poured out on him so that there isn't one drop left for you and I. This is why we celebrate his death, because he died to take away our sins. This is the high water mark of our salvation, Jesus' death. But secondly, there's another reason why we talk so much about Jesus' death, because it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there, right? Jesus dies, and then on the third day, he rises again. There is a happy ending to the story. So we can be bold in the face of Jesus' death in a similar way to the fact that we can be bold in the face of our own deaths. There is a happy ending. After he died on the third day, he rose again. Jesus' death wasn't a defeat, right? He did exactly what he wanted to through his death. By dying, he secured the salvation of his people, of you and me. And then he rose again in triumph. This is good news. Jesus' death is not the end. The resurrection shows us that there is new life. There is victory beyond the grave. Romans 6 doesn't just focus on Jesus' death. If you look through this, in verse 4, it says Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Verse 5 talks about a resurrection like his. Verse 9 talks about how Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has any dominion on him. Y'all, this is what we celebrate every Sunday, not just on Easter, right? That Jesus died for our sins. He was resurrected on the third day. He is victorious. Right? On the third day, when he rose again from the dead, that was the proof. That was the proof, y'all, that everything is going to be okay. When Jesus rose from the tomb, we knew that he conquered death. We knew that he conquered sin. When Jesus arose from the tomb, we knew that God's wrath had been satisfied. We knew that Jesus meant what he said when he said on the cross, "It is finished." Y'all, there's not more work to be done. Jesus has done it all. And so you and I get to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Y'all, this is good news. This is good news because Jesus died. There's no more punishment for you, Christian. Because Jesus rose again, there is hope and there is new life. As I mentioned, this passage, while it hints at and refers to and is built on the foundation of the death and resurrection of Jesus, it actually spends most of its time talking about our death and resurrection in Jesus. Example, verse 2 talks about how we who have died to sin, Verse 3 talks about how we have been baptized into Christ Jesus. We were baptized into his death. Verse 4 talks about how we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. We too might walk in newness of life. You know, around Easter time, we tend to have these images in our mind. We don't know exactly what it was like, right? But we know there was a tomb that on the third day was empty, right? Stone rolled away. And so we have these images in our mind of this empty tomb celebrating the risen Savior. Do you have this image in your mind of the resurrection that Jesus has bought for you? The idea in Scripture, there's this logic. When we talk about union with Christ, Paul loves to talk about how we are in Christ Jesus. We're in Jesus. We're united with Christ. The logic of salvation is that we, because of what Jesus did for his people, if we believe in him, we are actually in him. We are united with him. So, for example, on the day of judgment, right? The Bible talks about judgment. So, and we a lot of times don't like to talk about that. We dance around it. But God explains that he is a just God. And so the injustice in this world, for example, the injustice in this world God sees. He sees it. And he is bothered by it. And he will bring justice where injustice reigns. Right? God will not be mocked. So there is a day of judgment. And that's good news. Because God rights all wrongs. And all the injustice in this world that you have suffered, you have seen, God will make it right. There is hope. Yet the problem is that God's justice is universal. And that means no one gets exempt from that. And so that means on the day of judgment, when you might be glad to see your enemies suffer the wrath of God, be careful. Because God's gaze goes to us all. So on this day, the question, the only question will be, are you in Jesus Christ? Are you united with Jesus Christ? So, for example, on that day, if you are in Christ, trusting in him for salvation, then when God looks at you, he doesn't see your sin. He sees the righteousness, the perfection of Jesus. And because you are in him, God looks at you and sees Jesus. And on behalf of his seeing Jesus in you, he bangs his gavel. You're innocent. You're forgiven. This is union with Christ. But Paul talks about this union with Christ as it relates to Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection. Verse 3, we have been baptized into Jesus Christ, baptized into his death. Verse 4, buried therefore with him in baptism. Verse 5, we have been united with him in death like his. So y'all, as we think about Jesus' death and resurrection, you need to understand that what's happening spiritually to us is that we, our old self, is dying. He crucified our old self, and he gave us a new life. This is the salvation, the old life, life under bondage, in captivity to sin. This old life of being controlled by and led by sin. This old life of being enslaved to a life of misery, leading us to judgment and condemnation and hell. That's the old life. But thanks be to God, he crucified that old life. He buried it. That old life is in the casket. It's 6 feet under. It is no more. Because of what Jesus did, his life, death, and resurrection, we have our old life crucified. And so when God looks at us, He does not see our body of sin. He sees Christ's righteousness put on us, imputed to us. Our old life is dead, and we have a new life. Yeah, we still sin in this new life, right? We're not going to be perfect until we're in heaven. But this is no longer who we are. You hear me? Even if you struggle with sin as a Christian, if you are in Christ, if you have confessed your sin, asked God to forgive your sin in Jesus Christ, if you have received His grace, then there is always forgiveness. There will not be perfection until we're in heaven, but your sin will not define you. Your sin will not control you. It will not dominate you. There is freedom in Jesus Christ. There is freedom in Jesus Christ because of His life, death, and resurrection. Y'all, one day we'll experience this ultimate resurrection life when Jesus comes again. One day. On that day, we'll experience the ultimate resurrection when there will be no more sin, no more sadness, no more persecution, no more death, no more injustice, no more disease, and everything will be made new. This is the ultimate resurrection that we're looking forward to one day. But y'all, even now we get to taste this resurrection life right now. Not only did he promise that one day we will experience the fullness of resurrection life, but even now you get to live each day, wake up each day knowing that God has crucified your old self and given you a resurrection life now. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. Now, do you see the weight of this? Like, we are living a resurrection life right now. Christian, how can you be hopeless? Jesus died and rose again to give you a resurrection life right now. A life, and whatever else you can say about your life right now, your life is filled with hope because Jesus has given you a new life. If you're struggling with sin today, remember your identity. You're resurrected. You can be tempted. You can fall, but sin cannot ultimately win. Because we have this resurrection life. Do you feel ashamed today? Do you have regret today? Your old life of shame and regret and humiliation, that old life, it has been put to death. The new life you have is a life where there is no condemnation. There is love. The pleasure of God as He gazes upon you and sees you and says, "You're mine. You're mine. I love you. I died for you." Because Jesus died and rose again, this changes everything. We see this in verse 11. Towards the end of this passage, Paul says, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." Y'all, this resurrection life that we have as Christians, this gives us new hope. It gives us new purpose, new meaning. It gives us a new goal in life. Romans 14 says, "For none of us lives to himself and none of us dies to himself. For if we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Y'all, our new goal in life is to please the Lord no matter what the circumstances are. So whether you love your job or hate your job, right? You have this new privilege as a resurrected Christian to honor him and praise him with every single act in your workplace. It's new life, new purpose, new meaning, new hope. Whether you are single, engaged, married, separated, divorced, widowed, your life is full of meaning because you are a resurrected Christian with a purpose. To please the Lord in every word that comes out of your mouth, every thought that comes into your head, with every action. We have this new wonderful purpose to honor him. This changes everything. Y'all, this is full of relevance for our individual lives, in our relationships, as you're interacting with your friends, with family, with folks at work, with neighbors. Are you interacting with them as a resurrected Christian, full of new hope, new life? If you are in Christ, then you have something that this world needs. Hope that the old is gone, the new has come. You have this opportunity to share that hope as you point them to Jesus in your words and in your actions. Y'all, this is full of profound relevance for us as a church. We have this new phase, this exciting new phase. And our hope is not in our strength. It's not in our wisdom. It's not in our leadership. It's not in our decision making. Our hope is in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus Christ, because of his life, because of his death, because of his resurrection. Y'all, we have hope and we press on in hope, confident that this fresh start, that this new phase, it will be good because God is in it. So let's come together. Let's choose to come together boldly, right? Across every divide of age and race and previous church affiliation, right? We come together united in our resurrected Savior who has given us new resurrected life. Y'all, this is all we need. This is all we need. Let's pray.